Let's continue reading verses 27 through 34 of John chapter 12. Here we read of the Lord's troubled soul as he contemplated the cross. We also have the voice of God the Father commending his Son. And we have the Lord's prediction that his death would be by crucifixion. John chapter 12, verse 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Once again, some background notes first of all. In verse 27, we see that the Lord exposed his emotions when he said, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Let me read it again as a question. Some of your translations differ here, but I think this actually is a question. By the way, in the Greek language, you can't tell because in the original manuscripts, you never had punctuation. It was written in what's called uncial style, so you don't know exactly where questions are. You have to, by context, decide whether it's a question or not. Verse 27, let me read it again as a question. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour. Why was our Lord's soul troubled? Was he afraid to die? No. Was he having second thoughts about doing the Father's will? Of course not. It was the prospect of going to the cross to become the sin bearer, to be separated from the Father. That was why he was troubled. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read that he who knew no sin was made sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That is, the Lord Jesus experienced the wrath of God upon sin as he suffered and died on the cross. Looking forward to that experience was not pleasant. It was troubling to his soul. His statement here is very similar to his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And there was no other way. The Lord had to go to the cross and die. And the Lord went forward to that hour. In verse 28, the voice of the Father is heard for the third time in our Lord's ministry. It was heard at his baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 3:17. It was heard at his transfiguration. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Matthew 17, verse 5. And the Father's voice is heard here once again when the Lord prayed in verse 28, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. God's name was glorified throughout the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. Could that be said of us, that God's name has been glorified throughout our lives? In verses 32 and 33, we see that the Lord knew exactly what kind of death he would die. He would be lifted up, that is, lifted up on the cross to die by crucifixion. In his grace, God has hidden from us the time and type of death that we will die. But the Lord knew the time and the kind of death he would die, that he would, when his hour had come, go to a cross and die by crucifixion. In verse 34, we see that the people realized that he was talking about his death, but they didn't understand. Verse 34, once again, the people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" In other words, if he was the Messiah and applying the messianic title of Son of Man to himself, then why was he talking about being lifted up, going to death? After all, the scriptures indicated that the Messiah would live forever. And by the way, when they say law here, they mean the Old Testament scriptures in general. They were forgetting, of course, of scriptures like Isaiah 53 that predicted the sufferings and death of the Messiah. All right, so much for our background notes. Let's move on to our doctrinal or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one: the cross is the basis of God's judgment of this world. The cross is the basis of God's judgment of this world. In verse 31, the Lord Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world." The world here is not the material world that God has created, but the world system and the world of people who have rejected Christ. In crucifying Christ, the world would condemn itself. The world is now under the judgment of God. All the world is accountable because the world has rejected Christ. If you're here this morning as an unbeliever, you are part of this world system that is under the judgment of God. It's only a matter of time before the sentence is carried out. You may not feel like you're under the judgment of God, but you're living on borrowed time. The judgment of this world has taken place and it will be carried out. The cross is the basis of God's judgment of this world. Doctrinal point number two: the cross is the basis of God's victory over Satan. The cross is the basis of God's victory over Satan. Verse 31, once again: "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." Satan is referred to here as the ruler of this world. John 16, 11. He's also referred to here as the ruler of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, Satan is known as the god of this world. At the cross, Satan was defeated. In Genesis 3:15, it was predicted that at the cross, Satan would bruise the Redeemer's heel, but in turn, his head would be crushed. The Lord's heel was bruised in that he had to die. Satan's head was crushed in that he was conquered through that death of our Lord on the cross. Up until the cross, Satan had the power of death. Death was in Satan's hands, but no longer. He is a defeated foe. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15, we read, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he," that is Christ himself, "likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death," that is the devil, "and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." The cross is the basis of God's victory over Satan. It's only a matter of time before Satan will be confined to the lake of fire. Read Revelation 20 and verse 10 in that connection. Matthew 25 and verse 41 says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. In the meantime, don't get the idea that Satan is in charge of hell. No, that's cartoon theology. If I were to ask you, who's in charge of hell, I hope no one here would say, "Well, Satan's in charge of hell." An idea that comes from your cartoons, when they picture Satan with horns and a pitchfork and stoking the fires of hell. That's not what the Bible teaches. Satan's not in charge of hell. God's in charge of hell. God is in charge of hell, and Satan will be there. It's only a matter of time. He's a defeated foe. The victory over Satan has already taken place at the cross. It's only a matter of time before Satan is eternally consigned to the lake of fire, to hell. The cross is the basis of God's victory over Satan. Doctrinal point number three. The cross is the basis of God's salvation of sinners. The cross is the basis of God's salvation of sinners. Verse 32. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This verse does not teach that everyone will be saved. It can't teach that, because the rest of Scripture clearly teaches that there will be people who are lost forever. Well, what does it mean then that the Lord will draw all peoples to himself? It means that because of the work of Christ on the cross, the gospel will go out to all peoples, all nations, not just to the Jews, but to all nations, all nationalities, all peoples. And there will be people saved from all peoples, all nations, all kingdoms, all tribes on the face of this earth. In Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, that great scene in heaven, we read about praise to our Lord. And we read there that there will be believers that come out of every tribe and every tongue and every people and every nation. Isn't that great? What an encouragement to preach the gospel around the world, even in those difficult areas and pagan areas. Verse 32 once again, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. The cross is the basis of God's salvation of sinners. Let's take our practical application from this section. Do we recognize God's voice when we hear it? Do we recognize God's voice when we hear it? God's voice was heard from heaven. What did some of the people say? It thundered. They gave the voice of God a naturalistic explanation. They were not sensitive to the voice of God. The same is true today. People give a naturalistic explanation to everything. Everything that happens, explained away naturally, can't be of God. They refuse to recognize that God may be speaking. In Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2, David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. You think that's the way modern man sees nature? You think modern man recognizes the voice of God in nature? No way. They prefer to believe that it all came about through time and chance from nothing. Talk about kissing your brains goodbye. Well, what about us? Do we recognize God's voice when we hear it? You know, back in my college days, one summer I had three accidents. I was in the hospital three times in one summer. Finally, I realized that God was trying to get my attention. I was on my back so I would look up. You know, that summer became a turning point in my Christian life. Do we recognize God's voice when we hear it?